Hi, folks. We'll just wait a minute or two. People give time for people to arrive. I know there's a couple folks who aren't able to come, but we will post a summary and they can view the recording as well afterwards. Oh, you did not miss anything, Christy. You're just waiting to see if anyone else showed up. I know there are a couple of folks who are unable to make it. This actually might be our group today. It is 1:02. Let's see. Is there a volunteer for note taking?
I guess I can do it if there's no one else here.
Thanks.
I did it half of it last week, so
And you know
but that's okay.
if yeah, and we have the recording, you know, if you just want to note down like action items, and then I think I'm good with that. Christy, would you well, Christy, any everyone else, would you be fine with that?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I got it. Don't worry.
Yeah, so you know, leave the long narratives for your novel that you'll be publishing later on.
Well, I guess. Yeah, okay. That is a problem I have.
oh my gosh, that would be like the driest novel ever.
I know.
Man. Yeah. All righty.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And hopefully you can all see my screen. All right, so it's 103. I think this is who we'll have today. So again, for you know, I spoke with Christy and Ryan, and you know, we're still thinking about the process, and you know, it's brand new. We're you know, still trying to understand it, you know, to implement it. So again, this agenda is going to be kind of a mix of reflection on our process, as well as, you know, getting some work done. I have some questions for you, that well, you'll see, you can kind of see one. Because we think that the agenda, and we being myself and Christy, and maybe you all as well, it's been rather packed, and we kind of want to have more time to reflect, especially as we discuss our process in addition to the work that we're doing. So that will come up a little later, but let's start with announcements. If you have not, I'll put the link in the chat. This came up in Product Council, and this being calendar calming. Many people have meetings, and Charlotte put forth a proposal of kind of having a no week meeting. Definitely a couple of people have commented on that wiki page. If you have any comments, please share them with Charlotte. Also, as you'll notice, we were looking for documentation, and let me copy this this link to mod source 962. Thank you, Ryan, for and the developer. I think I'm not sure if it was the developer or his name just escapes me. Was it Ruslan?
Ruslan worked on it.
Yes. Yeah, I wanted to say Ruslan. I was like, no, it's not Ruslan, it's Ruslan. Thank you, Ruslan. He pointed us to two bits of documentation that explain the solution. So just have a initial look if you have time. Are there any updates that anyone else would like to share with the group? Alrighty, so going to kind of this idea of cadence and maybe meeting calming, we still need to work through our process. It's very new. We're still well, I mean, there's just a lot of questions with the process. It's also a living process, and we'll want to make sure not only does it work, but is it growing? In terms of the work that we need to do in the SIG. So my first question is related to kind of how we construct the agenda. And initially, when we wrote down our process, we wanted to take two issues, one or d two discussion topics, sorry. One was a Jira issue that needed to be reviewed by the SIG, and then the other one was a new topic or feature that had been requested, in the giant spreadsheet. What I've noticed is that it gets for very packed agendas, and we really don't have time to kind of do our meta discussion on process. So the proposal that I'd like to put before you is it okay if we alternate in between one and the other? So 1 week we, and I'm getting to, should we do maybe 2 weeks or that's coming later. But at least, so 1 meeting we do review of Jira issue that needs our SIG review, and then the next meeting would be a new topic. Thoughts? Oh, Christy, you can just go ahead and talk. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Jennifer. So I want to thank you for bringing this up. I know that I've been struggling to keep up and balance keeping up with what's going on in the SIG. And I do feel like the pace has been really fast, and I haven't been able to keep up. So I am going to advocate for thinking about this in terms of like letting topics take the time that they take, and circling back and making sure, we've dotted all our I's and crossed all our T's. I'm still, it's not routine for me yet. What comes next? What does it take to see something through? And so also, doing a lot of that like prep work and that, closing of the loop on topics actually in the meetings themselves. Even if it takes more time, I realize that we have a lot to accomplish, but I think that that would take some of the burden off of you and I, and especially you, because I know that everyone else probably doesn't realize this, but I can see like how much of a load Jennifer is taking to keep stuff like bubbling up and knowing where to look for things, which I'm embarrassed to say is something that I still have to stop and think about. It's work for me because it doesn't come naturally. And so I mean, I guess a little bit of this is just me surfacing, how much work the process is and how much of it is happening outside of the SIG meetings, and making space for that work to happen collaboratively in the meetings and surfacing that, and we can build capacity together so that everyone sees like how do we check the dashboard for tickets and what are we looking for and can we look at that together? Can we just make that a part of our housekeeping checklist at the end. And it might slow things down, but I think that it'll make things more sustainable and achievable without burning people out. That's just my perspective. And it'll relieve a little bit of the pressure. I have a lot of guilt pressure, and you have a lot of pressure, but you're stepping up to do all of the work, I feel.
Thanks, Christy. Well, and yeah, I mean, this is hard. I'm trying to find a balance as well. I think anytime you get into agile project development, especially if you haven't done it before, it's very difficult. And there is a pace, but I think we can set our own pace. And yeah, it's Jira's not easy to understand. It's not easy to work with. Confluence is, I don't know. I feel Confluence is kind of like a mushroom farm. You have one, and then the next day you've got like 20 things going on, and you're like, how did this happen? The mushrooms duplicated or triplicated. So, it yeah. And the, yeah, and yeah, 6 months in, it's like half your wiki pages are already archives, right? It is very difficult, and not everything takes the same amount of time. So, I do agree that we probably slowing down because this is probably new to many people. This also is very different from working with, like Ex Libris and vendor solutions for LSPs. This is a different kind of work and a different type of engagement. And it's interesting, Christy, that you mentioned, we should take a subject and kind of finish with it. Because in my second question, it's like, even if we do alternate, should we just, can, if a discussion, we don't finish that discussion, should we just, continue with it? And I like that approach because it means that, it's still on your mind, for the next meeting. Maybe you have time to review things going on, or maybe there's a lab session that we do in relation to the topic being discussed. And then we can really, continue that until, all the action steps are done. So I would prefer that. So if it takes like a whole month to do, like, I'll just take this one, for example, the mod inventory $7.99, then it does take a month. And I think it's better that we have it clear in terms of our scope, our expectations, and kind of what we want from that feature, so that it's clearly communicated to developers. Any other thoughts?
I agree. Oh, sorry.
Oh yeah, I agree with Chrissy. I like Chrissy know how much Jennifer does. If we can ease some of her load and do the work during the meeting instead, I'm okay with that. Sorry, Robert.
Yeah, oh no problem. I was just about to say the same thing. I'm perfectly happy to do one thing at a time. This is something I personally struggle with myself, So yes, keeping it to one thing at a time is much better for my limited brain cells at this point.
Yeah, because I mean, let's face it, everyone is busy. I think people have gotten busier, honestly. I don't know if we're, I don't know, there was the time of do more with less, and then there was, the time of do less with less. I'm not sure where we are now. Maybe it's just the time of we have less. That's our era right now. But we also have to recognize that, not all of our colleagues have a time to do this, but it's still we still need their input, because it's not just my data import, it's your data import, it's everyone who uses Folio and potentially those who are going to come on Folio who will use this tool. So it really is a the app for the community, and at least I feel strongly that the community should have a say, whether it's asynchronously or synchronously.
I also agree. I also wanted to ask, I guess this is more for Ryan, in following this blueprint, would it help developers in like actually building out features and fixing bugs if we can fully define something during one of during our meetings?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I think you make a good point there. It absolutely could be helpful. I think one thing I see as being someone on, both sides of this, a member of the SIG and working with the development team, is that often it can feel like the work we're doing in the SIG meetings can move faster than the development work does, and that can kind of lead to a little bit of a mismatch. And for those of us keeping track of the Jira tickets and what we're discussing, I think it can add a little maybe a bit of overload of everything we're trying to keep track of. And to your point, Lynn, the idea of if we just focus on getting, have one main focus for each meeting to help, develop features or enhancements or bugs, whatever it is the subject is, and getting it refined with the community. I think the more detail we can get as a group, that I can then bring to the development team, the better. It makes it easiest, or easier, for myself and the team to take action if we have as much information from the community up front as possible. Because that's, I'm sure that's something, we've all noticed at times where there's something that was raised and then it falls to the backlog, and then we pick it back up a while later and put it through refinement, which is always going to happen with a project this large. But it's always helpful to have as much information, especially from the people actively using it and understanding what it is you want to see is definitely beneficial. So yeah, I think that's a really good point you raised, Lynn, and I think that could help us keep aligned in what we're talking about as a SIG and what more aligned and with what the development team is actively working on, with the understanding that there will always be a backlog, but we won't be getting as ahead of things as it seems we might be at times right now.
And that those are excellent points, and actually I'm reminded of what you said, Ryan, of maybe going to every other week for this meeting. And I'm wondering with that, like maybe alternating, and I'm just putting out this idea here, alternating kind of like a lab week and then a SIG meeting week. So for example, if we talk about, I'm just going to use the example of 799, for example. Here, let's say we're talking about 799. We're like, okay, we didn't finish the discussion. So then lab can say, all right, we need some screenshots. Let's work some through some expected functionality. And then if anyone else needs help, for example, so that lab can really be kind of a what am I trying to say, like a technical or a step-by-step kind of working out what needs to be worked out, like with examples and using Folio, either the sandbox or Bugfest or something. So that's another idea that I'd like to put out there.
How would that work with I? So I think that that's a really good idea, and that's actually something that I have been also thinking about, alternating every other week with lab. One of the I'm just wondering, since the calendar calming proposal is coming up, what that would look like. Does that mean that we would have like one lab session and two SIG meetings a month? So it would be like SIG meeting, lab session, SIG meeting, week off. SIG meeting, lab session, SIG meeting, week off. Or would like one me month we have two SIG meetings and one lab session, and the next month we have two lab meetings and one SIG meeting?
I'll
Right?
let
Except
Robert.
for the
Oh,
5 week months.
yeah. And I think for the PC, it was, I think, having a meeting, having a week where there's no SIG meeting. So, I mean, we could, just alternate and say, this is our calming cadence for the moment. And then do we need an additional, like, last week off? Or do we just try the alternate? Because that would be a major slowdown for us anyway. Is that okay? And I'm not sure. Robert, you had your hand up.
I was just going to say, and maybe I shouldn't even at this point, but does this sort, I'm going to say it anyway, because I might forget it and it may not be useful, but is this sort of focusing on one topic and alternating weeks? I think this is going to work most of the time, but is it ever the case where we're going to have to pivot really fast to like something that breaks, for instance, and we have to look at that and then come back to what we were working on? I mean, and I suppose if that happens, we can just do that, but I'm trying to think if there's even been a time where that's necessary with this group or if it's just sort of something that we've kind of done when something new has come up and we talk about it for a little bit and then, it gets added into the mix. Anyway, it was just something I was thinking about.
And you know what? I can say without a doubt that that's definitely gonna happen.
I was afraid of that.
I mean, I've never known a maybe Ryan. I don't know if anyone has known a project to go so smoothly that I mean, there's always these little surprises, even if you try to, minimize the risk as much as possible. I mean, there's always something there to surprise you, Christy.
Well, I think that there's always going to be the opportunity for a critical issue. It's likely going to happen around an upgrade, right? To sort of trump just the regular schedule. If we just have, something from the backlog scheduled to be discussed, and somebody finds out that all of a sudden overlays stopped working after upgrade, and we have to like troubleshoot it or discuss it, we can always do that. We can always adapt whatever topic is there. I mean, I do think that we're actually in kind of a stable period, in that we haven't had a lot of those recently, and we are really going through the backlog right now. So yeah, that might happen, and I think that we can adapt and adjust. If we need a lab session, like, and it's a SIG meeting, there's nothing to say that we can't, have demos of problems in the regular SIG meeting. And I think that the other aspect of this is, understanding priorities. If we're going slower, we're taking our time getting through things, then we should make sure that we're pulling the most important things out of the pool first. So how are we doing that? Might be worth, reflecting on.
Yes, so I think we have something really good here. So what I'm hearing is let's give this a shot. So we take up a topic, whether that's review an existing JIRA issue or look at a new topic, and we kind of finish that discussion until it is fully done. And we alternate in between the SIG meeting and the lab session. And Katie, I see your message of having lab on Wednesday is difficult. If we alternate, should lab move to this time on Wednesday? Because we know a majority of people can make this time. So instead of the Thursday lab, it would be, so we would use, yeah, it would be during this time. Would that work for, I mean, that's a bit of a change, but would that work?
Can you repeat that? I don't think
Yeah.
I got everything.
So if we're alternating SIG meeting and lab, basically the lab would move to basically this time. So let's say this week, I know we're heading into holidays, but forget that for the moment. So right now we're doing a SIG meeting. So next week, Wednesday, at this time, it would be lab. And so it would just take the lab would be on Wednesday during the SIG meeting time, but it would be the week where there would be no SIG meeting.
That works for me.
Yeah, I think so too. And we can also just, start clean with our first meeting in January is going to be in the 7th. So we should just decide, are we starting with a SIG meeting or are we starting with a lab meeting?
And I think maybe we should, because that is a big change, posting it and posting a kind of a informal vote just on our channel to make sure people have a chance to weigh in. Makes sense to me.
Do we need to do like the decision log for this as a place to like put the proposal out there and get feedback and codify it like we do other types of decisions? Or do we just want to post it on the Slack channel and get feedback that way?
We could do either way, but I mean, maybe I don't know, what do other people think? I mean, either way is good for me.
I think since this is going to be of like a fundamentally like a quote unquote breaking structure change, if we're no longer meeting for lab on Wednesdays, we should definitely document it because we do have those who are not part of the SIG that just drop in for lab on Thursdays to discuss their issues with data import and implementing or specific jobs or whatever. And we'll have to broadly communicate it throughout, I think, metadata management and acquisitions, SIG, so that the migration teams that are migrating people from other ILSs to Folio know what's going on, that they can't just point them to this meeting time exists where you can talk about your problems and learn about data import in an informal way anymore, since we're moving to our structured time.
That makes sense. So what I can do is create a decision log and share that via the various channels, also maybe in announcements. And just yeah, timing is, well, I'm working until next Monday. Is there anyone working into like Tuesday or maybe Wednesday next week, or is having next Monday okay for feedback?
I think Monday is fine, but I will be working Tuesday, and I think what the, I'm looking trying to look at my calendar here, and Wednesday, I guess, if that helps.
I think that because it's the holiday that we should I think that we should leave it open into January.
You think?
The feedback period.
Yeah.
I think that there are people who are already out and aren't going to be back until January. In fact, I know
Okay.
that there are people who are already on vacation.
Righty. Yeah, so let's. All right, so we'll put it to January 7th. So for our January 7th meeting, so it's going to depend on what. So that's going to be a hard meeting to make the agenda for. So should our only topic, so basically I'm wondering, should we continue this discussion of cadence with the feedback for our January 7th meeting?
Well, I mean, I think that we need to be, I think that we need to be ready to discuss it if it turns out that it is contentious. If everybody's like, yeah, it's great, then we can codify a decision and say like, yeah, we're adopting it and we're starting this month. Next week is going to be lab session. We can also think about agendas as sort of running queues of topics. So you want to have enough topics to cover the time, but just know that you might not get to everything. So we can, we can have, other topics ready to go, in case we don't have to discuss this. And if we do need to discuss it, we'll discuss it. And I agree with Lynn that January 7th should be a sick meeting, no matter what. And it should be the meeting that we sort of finalize the decision.
Yeah, I was just thinking because there's a lot more, it's a lot more than just the agenda. So we need to clean up our main space. We also need to decide if we're going to use, because right now we have the calendar and Zoom info for the lab that's on Thursday. So do we keep that and ask Peter Murray, to make that on alternate days? Or do we keep the Zoom for data, like this one?
I think
So
that, so sorry, go ahead.
go ahead.
Yeah, no, these are all good, like sort of just logistical questions. And it feels almost like lab as a separate entity is going away, and we're just blending it with the sick meeting. I think that if we're going to be meeting at the same time each week, we're just going to have a different focus. Like we'll have, the SIG proper meetings 1 week, and then we'll have, basically a lab focused SIG meeting the next week. I would vote for using just the same Zoom URL, and giving up that alternate time. Unless, I mean, part of the feedback may be that, noon on Wednesdays just doesn't work. So, but the 2 o'clock on Thursdays did. So we needed to be prepared for people for whom that the new time frame isn't going to work. So we may be taking a resource away from them, and that's absolutely not what we want to do. And I like your argument too, Lynn, that it keeps all the recordings together in one place. Because it's still the data import SIG. It's just a different operational function that is, happening. But if it's same time, same place,
And we can keep that Thursday slot. So if someone says, "Hey, I have all of these questions. Can someone help me out?" And sometimes we've done this. So that slot can be used to say, "Hey, can you make it on Thursday? We need to record. Maybe it's a bug or something like that." So that if we keep the Thursday kind of like in reserve, maybe we could use it for that as well. For anyone who wants to use that time for additional testing, let's say.
I mean, it could be really helpful for whenever Bug Fest comes around and we need to do group testing. It's a time slot blocked off already on a different day.
Yeah.
Are there limits on the number of these meetings that we can have?
Not that I know of. I guess it's
Okay.
just our tolerance.
Okay. Well, no, I was just wondering whether or not it's a drain to like keep that reserved, that time slot with that dedicated Zoom link reserved for the project.
No, from my understanding, it's if there is an issue, Peter will he will reach out. So there was no conflict at that time. So I think we're all good. All right. So now, so what I'm hearing is, we're going to put out this d decision log for review and feedback and kind of informal vote on alternating SIG and lab, starting with a SIG on January 7th. And the labs will use this Zoom. We'll keep the Thursday in reserve. So I guess the next question is, we kind of have a couple of things on the that we've kind of started with. So, we have this one that's open, an issue that needs to be reviewed. It's one I've been using as examples, mod inventory 799. There's this new request of updating instance holdings and item, but in reverse. Then we have the ongoing work of use of qualifiers. And this is linked to a new Jira issue that Ryan created, hide match criteria on options. So we have some time today, but so should we review one today and then decide what we work on during the first SIG? Or how would you like to proceed? I will say the refinement of qualifiers is a that is a massive piece. That's going to take weeks, Christy.
I mean, the qualifiers is a massive piece, but it does also seem to be timely. We're in the middle, it sounds like the development team is in the middle of working on and thinking about this. There's work going on in lab session. We only have 20 minutes. Why don't we have a check-in on that? We know we can't finish it, but we can check in on it.
Sounds good. Any other thoughts? All righty. So I have to say, the poor people in lab, this was let me share. We tried to work on this. It's definitely a puzzle. It's more like a Chinese puzzle, or it's a puzzle that hurts people's brains. I did s start again here. And people can read through this. Thank you, Lynn, for adding tons of screenshots to this. But one thing that we noticed right away, and that's related to the work in this UX prod 5669, is that there seems to be a duplication of function. And let me go down to a screenshot where that shows what we're looking at. Where do the screenshots go?
They're right above the your begin here.
Oh, I was like, oh no, where are they?
Keep scrolling up.
Yeah, I'm scrolling. Okay.
There you
All right. Is this one? Where's the drop down? So what we're talking about, so the first section is where you pick like your incoming record. It's supposed to match to X existing record. So match mark to an instance, or match your mark to a mark, or match, et cetera. Then you get to this match criterion section, which has three subsections. One is for the incoming mark, where you say, okay, the value that you're going to use as your matches in, in this example, 035, blank indicator subfield A. And then this is obscured by the dropdown. But then you have the existing record. Right now, this is blank because nothing was picked above. But if you do the instance, then you'll get, the dropdown for your instance fields, holdings, you get your holdings, etc. Hopefully that is clear for everyone. So what we noticed is that you can use a qualifier and only parts of the value in the incoming section as well as the existing record. So, for example, you can use a qualifier begins with, and then the existing record you can say, well, ends with, for example, or you can say ends with and then begins with, or begins with and begins with. I mean, there are many, many combinations that you can have once you add in only compare part of the value, gives you even more variations on the theme. We notice that in between these two subsections is the match criterion. And if you'll notice, there's another dropdown. Existing value contains incoming value. And what we noticed in lab is that these options are basically what is being used by use a qualifier and only compare part of the value as stated in the incoming part and the existing record. And I had a question out to you, Ryan, because we were kind of at a loss as to why both exist because it seems like a duplication.
Yeah, that's a really good point here. And I'm glad this has come up as I've been looking into the 5669 feature, because what we've I think you make a really good point here, because we have existing value contains, incoming value contains. So I think it's this, I think it is essentially duplicating the what the cap I guess the capabilities of using the qualifiers on your incoming or existing. And that, I guess that leads me into what I want to raise for the 5669 feature, which was that the match criterion today of all these options, they don't really work except for exactly matches. And so what I was going to propose with this feature is to hide everything that's not exactly matches. But now that we're talking about this, I wonder if the scenario is simpler than what I was anticipating. Because initially I was thinking we hide these options so that no one's using a match criterion that's not going to work. But then we have a larger long-term conversation about what we do want for match criterions and how we want them to behave and have that be a follow-up feature. But if we can already achieve what we want by leveraging the qualifiers, it may more so be a matter of saying, we don't necessarily need match criterion options. We can understand that it will always defer to an exactly matches. And if you want to get more granular, you can leverage the qualifiers, if that's making sense. Robert, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me. I just wanted to chime in with, when we were going through this in lab, every time we would come up with a use case that involved one of these, let's call them inexact matches or inexact matches with the qualifiers, I kept thinking and sometimes actually asking, why would anybody do that? Because you open yourself up to getting so many, hits on, or matches on things that you might not want to actually match on. I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around how something so inexact is a match. that you want to, do something automatically on. You know what I mean? Like if we were intervening in all of these data import jobs in some intermediate step and saying, oh, wait, that's not a match that I wanted. I need to refine it. And, you can do that in test or whatever system you have to do that. But I'm just not able to think of many situations where you'd want to have it be that open. And I just may be missing something. It's entirely possible. But all that, I guess, is to say, if there's a way to make this more clear as to what it's actually going to really do, I would love to see it.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Robert, because when we were thinking of this, even if we're using a qualifier, if we're saying, in the incoming, begins with this, use only alphanumerics, for example, and then we want that still to exactly match what we're stating in the existing record. So it's because we went down the giant rabbit hole of, if we use a qualifier of begins with like OCLC, in parens, let's say, and only compare the numerics, and then we say, we select one of these drop downs in addition to that, and doing a use a qualifier in the existing record. I mean, that just seemed like spaghetti. It made no sense at all. So. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was questioning like why it should exactly match, and it seems use a qualifier and compare part, like we could even get rid of everything else with the understanding that, even though we're using qualifiers and maybe alphanumerics or numerics to compare part of the value, it should always exactly match.
This is really great to hear, and I appreciate the rabbit hole that you all dove down on this, because this has been a long-standing thing that I've wanted to get to the bottom of, the understanding that these match criterions aren't matching, or I'm sorry, aren't working the way they're expected. And the development of these was before my time, so some of that historical knowledge is perhaps somewhere deep in the wiki, but they were developed before my time, and so it's something I've wanted to get to the bottom of. And I think all of your testing here and reviewing of potential use cases, or what, as Robert noted, maybe lack thereof, I think what you're showing here presents a very strong case, especially if no one in this room is seeing any reason not to. And especially with the state of these drop downs options not even working outside of exactly matches, you may have a clear understanding here that to achieve the more granular matches, you can leverage qualifier and compare part of the value. But the understanding is that when you're comparing these things, you're always looking for an exact match, and there's really no reason to further complicate that. Robert, I see your hand up.
I just wanted to say that the only person that I can remember coming up with any possible scenarios for using some of these was Vivian. So I wish they were here to talk about that. And I have to admit that the scenarios that they came up with did not make any sense to me when they were describing them. So maybe they were just fishing for some possible scenario that somebody might do rather than one that somebody actually does. I don't know, but we might want to follow up.
Yeah, I think I noted them down, and from what I
Oh, that's right.
remember, yeah, the use of qualifier and the only compare and like using a combination of like incoming existing record would I think would be enough in terms of like using one or the other or both. would answer that question, because we do go on and, you know, we tried to put it down. This is, you know, with examples for contains and et cetera. So we did do a lot of work. So, but yeah, I think if for, I guess this gets to our action item. If for the moment we kind of, oh, Lynn, go ahead.
Oh, I was so we're having more and more institutions migrating over from other ILSs like Alma. I know because I was at a former Alma institution. It's like their documentation is public, so you can see their like matching criteria, so that to make sure that we have the same capabilities that they do. We don't have to do it the same way they do, but we should. But they have some really like great I like if you keep like scrolling down, like it's I started with the serial matches, but if you keep scrolling down, there's a comparison between 035 and the unique OCLC identifier match. If you just keep scrolling down, and it has like a really great table, and it's with like illustrative things where it's not all like OCLC and parens and then a bunch of numbers. Keep going down, Jennifer. It's after this section, I believe. There you go. 'Cause they're using like apple and orange, and it could be helpful in defining our processes so that we're in line with the capabilities of what other users coming to Folio would expect to be able to do.
And that's a great point, because it gets to kind of our what's our minimum viable product, you know,
Right.
for data import, right? And
Yep.
I can see some of these just using the qualifier, like here, you know, comparing numerics only, that would work there. So I'm wondering if, you know, as part of our process, you know, once we decide, you know, whether we're going the use of the qualifier or the other long list, you know, we kind of look at how we can do this in like a lab. That might be really helpful. So with that in mind, what is our action item on this? We obviously have some more work to do. So the ticket, UX Prod 5660 nine is just to hide. I think I don't want to speak for the lab, but I'd be for like removing, because we found that it didn't quite make sense. And also, let me go to refine. You'll notice that this match criterion. So if we just change this to like if there's no longer any dropdown, you can say exactly matches, which I think isn't when you're talking about documentation, and when you say like, oh, you know, look at the second part of the match profile, it's called match criterion. That's a lot easier to train people on, because once you start having two words that are different things and different parts, it becomes very complex. So I mean, anyway, more thought, I guess, to that. But so what is our action item on this? Ryan.
Yeah, so I think I see two action items here. One that lives with me for sure to adjust UX Prod 5669 based on our conversations here and our findings that it's not that it's l less a question of hiding and more the idea of just straight up removing and like you said adjusting the UI so that you know, it's clear to the user that you're only going to exactly match, and that's what you got, and that's how it's going to work. So I will take that and adjust it, further refine it, and you know, walk through that with the team and get input on the best options for UI display and all that good stuff. So that'll be an action item for me on this. And then I think something you I think you alluded to, Jennifer, could be for the group to maybe do some further review with how you can leverage the qualifiers and the only compare to come up with something similar to that Alma documentation that Lynn shared. I'm sure we have a page already that we could probably build off of on the wiki, but I think that something like that could be a good, this conversation could be a good trigger for some additional work like that.
Yeah, and that's excellent. Thank you, Ryan. I know we're at 2 o'clock. I just wanted to keep you just maybe a minute more. So for our next agenda, so we have not finished this discussion. We also had this new topic and then a review. So for the 7th, what should be our agenda discussion topic or topics? And I, Jeanette asked about this one. And Jeanette's fine if it is moved to either beginning or end of January. So this one can be moved around.
Well, obviously, the first topic is our reconfiguring of the meeting schedule. And then.
I mean, I would say exactly that. We need to like decide to implement or open the floor for more discussion on the modified schedule. And then I'm okay with this being the revision of existing issues for A56 electronic access. That's actually been hanging up for a while. That's something else that really comes out of that discussion that we had at WolfCon last year, which I'm now remembering that I never, one of my action items for that was to provide a report to this group and to metadata management on that session on how we keep up with Mark. I can maybe work on that, and that kind of flows into the topic of the 856 electronic access mapping too.
Okay. And then I just, since we had review for the final reviews, just do we endorse the, do we understand the solutions and do they work for the,
Right.
yeah. So if that, and I'm, yeah, so that's it. We might put some announcements at the end of this meeting. We will do the agenda. Well, it will be lab after that, but we can talk about lab. And I'll put a section on a next agenda for lab on this. And so with the understanding we still have some stuff here that maybe we can do as well in the future. So how is that for meeting schedule first, Lynn? Do you mean?
The reconfig.
Oh, yes, okay. Everyone feeling okay? How was that discussion? Feeling good about our process?
I think it sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. I hope you all have happy holidays, a nice break. If you're taking a long break, I hope it's great. And I'll see everyone. Well, if you're not at lab, we'll see you next year.
Great. Thanks so much, everyone. Happy holidays. Hope you have some time
Bye.
off.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.